Best-selling Irish author Maeve Binchy has just published a new novel. It's called Quentin's. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says Binchy is certainly no James Joyce, and that undeniable literary fact may be its own cause for celebration.
Here's what's always happened in the past when I've gotten my hands on a review copy of a new Maeve Binchy novel. I'd inhale the first few pages, maybe a chapter, immediately. Then duty called. I'd give the Binchy book pride of place on my nightstand, but during daylight hours, I'd read the books I had to review. I'd keep sneaking little visits back to Binchy's novel, but I'd never consider reviewing it. Binchy's fiction is an abiding guilty pleasure, not challenging enough to be considered literature, not nearly unselfconscious and awful enough, like Harold Robbins or Danielle Steele's books, to be reclaimed as kitsch. But this time round, I've decided to come clean, do the right thing, take Binchy out in public and not punish her, critically, for being the master storyteller she's all but universally acknowledged to be. After all, I owe her. Maeve Binchy's books have sat with me beside a lot of hospital beds, soothed my jitters during many an airplane flight. Hers are the perfect novels to read in tense and enervating times, and I mean that as a great compliment. Binchy's plots are complex enough that they lift me out of my world into hers, and she has enough of a sense of the meanness and sadness in everyday life that her characters and outlook don't repel by being saccharine. "Tell me a story," we beg of our parents when we're kids, hoping to be transported out of the moment. Maybe it's because Binchy so generously answers that enduring yearning for a good story that I've critically diminished her for reducing me, a certified professor of literature, back to a rapt child. Binchy's latest book is called Quentin's, and it's as good as she gets, which is very good indeed. I swear to you, teared up as I read the last page, the only fitting response, of course, to an Irish tale of wronged women, faithless men, martyred mothers, and kindly benefactors who saved the day with generous pots of euro dollars. Yet somehow, and this is where Binchy's storytelling magic enters in, she manages to make this well-worn material seem as fresh as a smock of Irish linen. To paraphrase one of Binchy's own characters, it's not a story full of shamrockery, the how are things in Glacamora top of the morning approach. There's nobody doing leprechaun duty in this novel. Quentin's tells the tale of 40 or so years in the life of a fictitious famous restaurant by that same name in Dublin. Loyal readers will salivate at the news that Binchy is returning us back to the world of food, glorious food, a world she detailed in her last novel, Scarlet Feather. Tom Feather and Kathy Scarlet, the likable catering team from that book, perform a few walk-ons here, as do other familiar characters. The main narrative, though, focuses on a pretty young teacher named Ella Brady, who falls for a 40-ish, married-with-children financial consultant named Don Richardson. Don, Ella lectures herself after their first meeting, is a known charmer, a professional who made his money by saying, "Trust me," to people, by holding their hands for a little too long, by letting his eyes lock into theirs. Nevertheless, good girl Ella stumbles into his arms. Their first illicit lunch takes place at Quentin's. Months later, Ella waits, naively, for him at Quentin's again, after he's already fled the country, taxman at his heels. Shortly after, she begins waitressing at Quentin's to pay her parents back for the life savings they've lost by investing with Don. And that's not the half of it. Ella begins helping out on a documentary film that uses Quentin's as a focal point to chart the dynamic changes in the Irish economy and self-image, from watery soup and beans and toast to creme brulee and computer chips. Consequently, we hear the life stories in miniature of Quentin's chef, hostess, waitstaff, and scores of its customers. Binchy performs a flashy storytelling step dance here, keeping the main tale of Ella spinning while twirling around about 25 other brief but compelling narrative partners. This past weekend, I was at the National Book Festival here in Washington, and I found myself explaining Maeve Binchy's attractions to someone who'd never read her. She's the Irish Susan Isaacs, but a bit less comical, I heard myself say. This other woman nodded enthusiastically as her lip curled slightly in derision, mixed critical body language. Both Binchy and Isaacs fall into that somewhat disreputable book bin labeled Great Reads. They'll never be canonized, but they're beloved, and I suspect that both writers laugh about their exiled status all the way to the bank.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Quentin's by Maeve Binchy.